Today's daf is Chulin daf Mem Hey. We left off on daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, just a few lines before the end of the page. Rabbi Elazar Kevim Shadri Le Mi Bei Nesia. So we're about to discuss, just to finish up a little bit of the discussion from yesterday, different attitudes toward accepting gifts and accepting invitations. And then we're going to go back right into Trefos. And there's going to be a lot of discussion of a variety of Trefos in today's daf. So first we're going to talk about different holes and cuts in the trachea of a behemah and of an oaf, and the different sizes of the cuts and shapes of the cuts, and what's going to make it a treifa and what's not. Then we're going to define the makom shchita, and we're also going to talk about what the chaza that goes to kohanim is, which is, I guess, not directly treifas related, but also related to just the anatomy of a behemah. Then we're going to define a hole in the membrane around the brain, what's considered a hole in the membrane around the brain, that would define the animal as a treifa. Then in Amud Beis, we're going to talk about holes in the heart and breaks in the spine, that those are also things that can make an animal a treifa. So let's begin the bottom of daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Again, at Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Kiyav Meshadri Le Mibay Nesiyah Midi, when they would send the matana from the Beis Hanasi to Rabbi Elazar, lo shakil, he wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't accept any gifts. But Kiyav Mezamni Le, when they would, and when they would invite him to eat a meal with them, lo azil, he would not accept the invitation. Amar, he would say, lo kabay mar de'echi, do you not want me to live? Tichsiv, v'soni matanos yichya, it says that if you hate gifts, then you're going to live. So you don't want me to live if you want me to accept these gifts, because the assumption is that the opposite is also true, that someone who is mekabel matanos, who is oiv matanos, that he's going to die. Rabbi Zera ki meshadri lei, when Rabbi Zera would be sent a gift, lo shakil, he wouldn't take the gift, but ki avu mezamnin lei, when they would invite him for a meal, azil, he would accept the invitation. Amar isyakure yudum isyakrubi, and his logic was that they are getting honor by his acceptance of the invitation. As Rashi writes, nechbadenheim b'mashani soed etzlam, it's not really matana, they're doing it for their own selfish reasons, because they get to say that such a chashva person accepted an invitation to their home. The Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishmat Sim Reish Mem Tasev Hei writes that it's a midos chasidus not to be makabel matana, but rather to be boteach b'Hashem, that Kodesh Baruch Hu will give us de machsaro shenemar v'soni matanos yichya. The Yamshel Shlomo in our sugya, the Marshal writes that the poskim leave out Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Zera in our sugya because ein hech Rabbi Davar, and someone who's makbid is makbid, and the pasuk doesn't say oiv matanos yamus, it just says soni matanos yichya. So it's like a positive skula, but not a negative skula to accept matanos. It means that if you're boteach b'Hashem and you're soni matanos and you place your total reliance on Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you shouldn't think, says the Yamshel Shlomo, that because of that you're like committing suicide, because how can you not accept it if you're needy and someone's offering you a gift? By turning it down, aren't you doing something terrible? Because by any logic, you're not going to be able to make it. No, that's the chiddush, that soni matanos yechya, that bitachon is going to be rewarded. But certainly, if someone accepts the gift, there's nothing wrong with that either, says the Marshal. The Marshal writes, I'll be the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah, where the Rambam writes that anyone who's meisim al libo she yasuk b'torah v'lo yasuk b'melachah v'yisparnis me'atzdakah, a person makes a decision that he's going to learn Torah and he's not going to look for a job, and as a result, how is he going to get parnasa? He's going to accept tzedakah. The Rambam says, "Hareza chilul Hashem." That's a chilul Hashem, that a person is going to decide that he's going to learn all day and he's going to rely on other people to support him. According to the Rambam, not only is it also to take tzedakah, that it's also lahanus midivrei Torah bol mazeh. It's also to get any sort of hana'a from Divrei Torah, and if people are going to support you dafka because you're because of your learning or because they respect your learning, the Rambam was very against that. The Torah writes that the Rambam is l'shitaso, because the Rambam in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos writes that those who are the lomdim gedolim, that are nenim and abrios, and rely on other people, it's against all of Shas. He goes through all the stories of the great Tanaim and Amoraim who worked very hard in order to be supported, or who were extremely poor. And he says, why is it? Why do you think they were extremely poor? You think no one had covered a Rabbanim in those times? That no one respected these enormous Talmidei Chachamim and was willing to help them? Of course there were people willing to help them. They just weren't interested in accepting the help because they thought that it was inappropriate to do so. The Rashi writes in a tshuva that the Rambam Shita is largely been rejected. He says it's been a minug mimei kedem that people are osik b'melacha shemayim would take schar min atzibur, that they would get paid from the community. And if they wouldn't do this, then the Torah would have been batel mi Yisrael long ago. So that's the age old machlokas. But it relates to this idea of soni matanos yichya in Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpatim Kufay in Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch says if you have a chatzar shal shnei shutfim that doesn't have a shir chalukah, the beginning of Masechet Rabbah discusses how large a chatzar has to have a shir chalukah, that each one has to be able to get a respectable amount of the chatzar. But let's say this chatzar is too small to divide where each person is going to get a respectable amount, so neither of the shutfim are able to force the other one to divide it, and one of them says, let's divide it, and we'll make one proper shir chalukah. We won't divide it in half. We'll divide it in a way that one of us will get a proper shir, the other one will get something way smaller, and I'll take the smaller one, you take the big one, and you just pay me the difference, you know, that you'll buy me out of the, you know, what, if I'm going to get 20% of it and you're going to get 80% of it, so you'll buy me out of the 30% that I'm giving up to you. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein yochel chofo. You can't force the other guy to buy you out of that portion of the chatzar. And even if you say, says the Shulchan Aruch, Tolas achilek hagadol b'matana, I'll give you the 80%. I just don't want to be a partner with you. You take 80% of the chatzar because that's a kedei chalukah. I'll take 20%, and you have to pay me a penny. Even it will just be a matana. Still, you can't force him. Says the Shulchan Aruch. The guy could say ein ritzoni lekabel matana, that I don't want to accept a matana. Then the Shulchan Aruch says yesh cholkin, that others disagree and say that in that case he can force the other party to split. So the machlokas is, the Sma explains, the machlokas is that the first day in Shulchan Aruch holds that the shutav could say I don't want to accept a matana because the soni matana siyachya, and the yeshom say that since the person who's giving the matana is not giving it for your benefit, he's giving it for his own benefit, he just doesn't want to keep up the shutvus, this was his idea, so he's not doing it because he's so generous, he's doing it because of him, because of his own selfish reasons, that soni matana siyachya would not apply in that case. So Chassam Sofer says that's exactly the machlokas in our Gemara. Chassam Sofer writes in Babasra Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, that's exactly the machlokas of Blazer and Rabbi Zeira in our sugya, that Rabbi Zeira would go to the Beis Nesia because when they would invite him, they weren't doing it to honor him, they were doing it to honor themselves. That's like the Yesh Omrim, that if the Nosin Matan is doing it La'anas Atzmo, then you don't apply Soni Matanas Yichya. Rabbi Lazar would not accept the invitation, even though he knew full well that they were doing it to honor themselves, but he said at the end of the day it's Matana, so he didn't want to accept any Matana, even if it was for their own honor. The Chida points out that the Pasuk is Meduyak, Visoni Matanos, it says not Visone Matana, because it's only by a matana that is kfula, that it's for the nosein and for the makabel, it's a pure matana. But if the nosein is not giving it because of a matana, he's giving it because of himself, then you wouldn't say soni matanos yichya. However, the Ben Yoyada in our sugya points out that both Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Zeira might agree that if the nosein is mechavein for his own toelas, that would not be a violation of soni matanos yichya. Why then did Rabbi Lazar have a different practice than Rabbi Zeira? He says very simple. Rabbi Lazar was an ani, so any kavod they were giving him was only because he was a Talmud Chacham. So if he'd be mekabel the matana, al smach that they are being mischabed through him coming, then he's being nena mikisra shel Torah. He's enjoying the benefit of the keser Torah. And that he couldn't tolerate. He wouldn't do that. However, Rabbi Zeira was wealthy, so he was someone who likely they would be honored to have him even without his Torah knowledge. They'd be honored to have him just on account of his wealth, because he was such a wealthy person. So for him to accept the matana was okay. And that's the double lashon, says the Ben Yoyada, isyakure hu de misyakrubi, a double lashon of honor, that there's a double honor in having me. Number one, because I'm a Talmud Chacham. Number two, because I'm wealthy, so it's not a chashash of being nene mikisra shel Torah. Okay, that's the agada for today. Now we get into the Hilchos Shefas. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, on the top of the page, first line, Mem Hamad Aleph. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Nikva kinafa mitstarfim leruba. If the gargeres has holes around its around the circumference of it, that like a sieve, so we combine all of those holes till we get to a rov. And if, when you combine all of those holes, you have rov hekef hagargeres, it's going to be a trefa. So even though the Mishnah had said psukas hagargeres, it means that it becomes a trefa when rov is cut. Masav Rav Yirmiya, so Rav Yirmiya asks, you know, there's a Mishnah in the second paragraph of Maseches Olos that talks about how the skull of a dead body is metame ba'ohel, but we said that if there's a hole in the skull and it's chaser, then it's not metame ba'ohel. So there's machlokas over there, how much does the skull have to be chaser in order for it to no longer be metame ba'ohel? The Shammai says, kimelo mekadeach, and the Silla says, as much of a skull as a human being can lose and still live is not going to be it will still be metame ba'ohel. But if you take out enough that he would die, then the skull is no longer metame ba'ohel. So the sheer neck of kineshi natal menachay v'yamos is melom mekadeach shel rofim. The Gemara says so. The Bryce explains the din of nekavim that aren't a perfect drill hole. Mekadeach is like a perfect circle. So what if it's not a perfect circle? We add up the different holes that there may be in the skull till we get to that point of the size of a drill hole, and then we would say that that's considered as if it were one single large hole. Alma, kevin de shiura melomikadeach, lemelomikadeach mitzarfin. So it sounds like since the shear by a skull is melomikadeach, a bunch of smaller holes will be mitzarif to melomikadeach. So hachinami, we should say the same thing over here. Kivan de shiurei ki isar, since a nekev in the gargeres, the shear is an isar, so liki isar mitzarfin. Multiple holes should add up to the shear of an isar. But an isar is l'chara less than a rov gargeres. So how can we say that it adds up to that only if it adds up to a rov the animal is going to be a trefa when it comes to the gargeres? If the shear that would be chaser in the gargeres that would make it a trefa is an isar, we should say that if it adds up to an isar, it would be a trefa. Says the Gemara, ishtamite ha da amar Rabbi Chelba amar Rabbi Chan Bar Gurya amar Rav. Rabbi Yirmiya clearly had forgotten that which Rabbi Chelba amar Rabbi Chan Bar Gurya said in the name of Rav. Nekavim sheish ben chisaron mitzarfen liki iser, v'shein ben chisaron mitzarfen l'ruba. There's a difference between a hole where there's a piece missing and a cut. If there's a cut or you puncture a hole but there's no piece missing, it's not. It's just that there's you've poked a hole in it, but all of the original material is there. That's different than if you remove a piece. If you remove a piece of the gargeres, then the shear is ki'isar. But if there are holes in it, then we would measure al pi rov. If the holes would go around to equal a cut that would cut rov of the gargeres. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Rabbi Shoben Levi Nitla Heimena Ritzua Mitzarefes Liki Isar. If let's say what was missing from the gargeres was a strip, a long narrow strip, instead of like a round, instead of a circle or a more even piece, just a long narrow strip, we'd have to measure the area of that strip to the size of an isar, because that's the size that would make a gargeres, that would be missing from a gargeres and make the animal a trefa. What if the gargeres has holes like a sieve? Do we say it becomes a trefa? Well, that's the halacha we just said, that it depends. If the coven that it has are that there are missing pieces, so then you add them all up to an isar. If there are no missing pieces, it's just punctured in different places, then you have to add it up to a rope. So that's the halacha that we just gotten through saying. Says the Gemara, if the gargeres has small holes, ba'ofa, the shear of the nekavim does not equal on a bird where the shear of the nekavim is not going to equal an isar, and the assumption is that by an oaf the gargaris is very tiny, so it can't be that the shear is a shear of an isar. So ba'of amai. So what's the halacha by an oaf? Amar Rabbi Yisroch ben Nachmani l'didim mifarshin l'minei de Rabbi Elazar. I heard pshat from Rabbi Elazar mekaplo the umanicho al piakana. That you take the area that has holes, you sort of cut around it on three sides and fold it over into the opening of the kana. The kana is a tube. So you cut out on three sides so that it could fold over. You fold it into the kana, and then you see im chofa es rofa kana trefa. If the area that has holes would cover the majority of the opening of the kana, then it would be a trefa. The imlav kshera, and if it would not cover the majority of the opening of the kana, then it would be kasher. Amrav Papa v'simaneich nafya. The simon to remember this, how to do this measurement, is like the making of a sieve. That apparently the way they would make a sieve is they would take some round thing and then start putting the material, stretching the material over the round opening. So that's how you make a sieve, and that's exactly how you test for this type of trefa by an oaf. That you would look at the hollow part of the kana and you'd fold over the part that has holes in it to see if the part that has holes would cover the majority of the hollow area of the kana. Says Gemara, nifchasa kedelas. If let's say the gargeres is cut in a way that it's not missing any pieces, but it's cut on three sides in a way that the piece it's a flap that can flap open. It's like a door that can flap open on the gargeres. Some Rav Nachman kedeshi kanes isar lerachbo. It's only going to be a trefa if it's large enough that an isar could fit along its width in and out of that opening. Now that's larger than the shear of an isar. The shear of an isar is that it's exactly the shear of an isar. That's when it's chaser. Over here it's not chaser. It's just cut on three sides. Part of the kana is cut in three. If you were to cut four sides, then you'd be able to pull out the entire piece that's cut. But it's cut in three sides, so flaps open and close like a door. So if an isar can easily fit in and out of that door, then you know that it is a trefa. Nistika, if the gargeres has a crack along its length, Amarav afilu lo nishtayirba eluchulia achas lemala vuchulia achas lemata kshera. Even if there's just one twist at the end, or one wind at the end, and one at the beginning, it's going to be kosher. As long as the sedek doesn't go mamish from end to end, but the crack can go close to from end to end. Chulia is a term that we use in a number of places. It's a term we use in Hilchos Tzitzis as well. It's a machlokas exactly what a chulia of tzitzis is. You need seven chulios of tzitzis, between three and seven. So that's the question of what exactly a chulia is. Is a chulia each wind of the tzitzis, or is it each section between the knots of the tzitzis? But so over here also on the gargeres, there are like these ridges. So the it looks like chulias of a tzitzis in the pictures, at least. So it looks like the when you wind around the tzitzis, you see it's like there are ridges in between them. So that's what it means, that you have the cut going along the full length, except for the first chulia and the last chulia. So amrua kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. They said this in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar ma chulia o ma chulia de kamarav. Well, what are these chulios that he's talking about? What do you need chulios? It has nothing to do with chulios. Ele'ema afilu lo nishtayir ba elemashu lemala umashu lemata. The way to formulate the halacha is if the crack just leaves a mashu on the top and a mashu on the bottom that are not cut, kshera, then it's going to be kosher. It doesn't have to be a full chulia, it just has to be a mashu. The chulia may be a little bit larger than a mashu. So Amrua, they said this halacha that Rabbi Yochanan said, that all you need is a mashu, kamed Rabbi Yochanan, mishmed Rabbi Yonasan, hachi, in front of Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, that's what Rabbi Yonasan said, that it's all talian mashu. So Amrlahu, yodin chavrin bavloi, lefrushi kei taima. He says, the people in Bavel, they know how to explain the way I said it, that you don't have to have a chulia shlema, a mashu is good enough. So I'm very glad that the people in Bavel know this halacha very well. Okay, now we discuss where the makom shchita is on the gargeres. So Tan Rebbe Chiya Bar Yosef kamei de Rabbi Yochanan kolat savra kulo kasha l'shchita. The entire neck of the animal is kasha l'shchita, mitaba'as hagadola ad kanfei rea tachtona. From one end of the kanab, all the way by the head of the animal, all the way until the rea tachtona, until the bottom part of the lung. Well, we'll see the bottom part of the lung doesn't mean what you would think it means. It doesn't mean if you're going down all the way at the end of the lung. It means right when the lung begins, but still, it's the entire neck of the animal. That's what they point out, that one of the big Jewish misconceptions is that the reason we don't eat giraffe is because you can't find the makom shechita on a giraffe. And it's been pointed out, the makom shechita on the giraffe is enormous, right? I mean, you have that whole space until you get to the lung. If you can't find the makom shechita on the giraffe, then you got problems. I mean, that's we don't eat giraffe because it's extremely expensive and it doesn't taste that good. So, and it's probably, you're probably not allowed to slaughter giraffes in America. I don't know. I'm guessing, but you know that's why we don't eat giraffes. So Amar Rava. So Rava says, what does it mean? Kanfei rea tachtona, the bottom of the lung. It means the bottom, that's the top. It means that when you would, if you take out the lungs, the whole insides of the animal, you would hold it by the kana, you know, like by a string. So the part of the kana that goes right up until the lung. Once you're going into the lung, that's not considered the kana anymore. Shani Yomer Kol Shapashetas Tzavara Verove Blavat Shlo Te'anes. That what's included wherever it would stick out its neck while it's eating, that's the part of the neck that's kasher l'shchita, because the neck can stretch a little bit, but the part of the kana that's between the lungs itself, between the lobes of the lung, or whatever you call the different parts of the lung, so that's not going to be the makom shechita. Oblavat shlo te'anes. And when we measure the stretching of the neck of the animal, that's not if you're like yanking at the animal's head to stretch its neck further, but it's just that it's a normal stretching while it's eating. What if the animal pushes itself to stretch its neck further? Is the part that would come, meaning an unusual, not a normal eating stretch, it would to do some sort of unusual stretch that it could manage to do on its own without a person pulling its head, but it doesn't normally do that. Is that considered part of the kana? The part of the kana that comes, that stretches out of the lung when it does that, is that still considered part of the kana? Teiku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved, and therefore the Rashi points out we go l'chumra misafik. Yasser Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Lakish Nafag Milsim Ibinayu. Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Lakish were discussing Torah, and the following halacha came out from them. Anas b'simanim v'shachat psula. If you pull the animal's neck to make the simanim stretch, and then you shacht a place that was previously inside the lungs, but now that you've stretched the animal's head, it's no longer inside the lungs, psula, that is pasul. Nikif hakana lemata min hachazeh, if there's a hole in the kana, but it's below the chazeh, it's in a place where it's not roi l'shchita anymore, then nidon kareya, then we view it like a hole in the lung, and it's going to have a very different halacha, because when it comes to a kana, it's only when it's nifsak hagargeres beruba, it's only when rov has a hole in it. But when it comes to the lungs, it's even a mashahu. So that part of the kana that's sunk into the lungs is considered like a lung. It's not considered like the kana itself. Tan Rabbanan, ezu chaza. Now, once we're on the topic of that we mentioned the chaza, so what is the part of the animal that's called the chaza that goes to the kohanim? The chaza v'shok of a karban shlamim goes to the kohanim. So what is the chaza? So zeh haroe es hakarka. It's the bottom part of the animal that when an animal's standing up, it's facing the ground, not the side walls of the animal, but just the bottom of the animal's belly. Lemata adat saver, lemala adat keres, and it stretches from the neck until the keres, from the neck until the stomach. So it's toward the front part of the animal, on the very bottom of the animal. V'chotech shtei tzla'os mishtei defanos, and you cut two of the ribs from two of the sides of the behema, elech ve'elech, on either side, one cell on either side, v'zeu chaza nitan l'kohanim. And that's the chaza that you would give to the kohanim. That's the piece called the chaza that goes to the kohanim by a karban shlamim. Then the Mishnah had said, another treifa that we mentioned in the Mishnah is nikov krum shel malach. If the membrane around the brain has a hole in it, that's also a treifa. So Rav Shmuel, Darmi Tarvayu, karma ila'a. It's referring to the outer membrane that attaches to the skull. If that membrane has a hole in it, the animal's a trefa. Afal gav delo inkiv tata'a. Even though the inner membrane, which is a very thin layer that goes around the animal's brain directly, does not have a hole in it, but the outer membrane that attaches to the skull does have a hole in it, that would make it a trefa. The armila and others say differently. Adi nakif tata'a, that no, you need the very thin inner membrane to also have a hole in it in order for the animal to be a trefa. So where is this karamatachon? What is this karamatachon? Amra bishmol bar nachmeni v'simenayich chayta dimit nachbei mocha. You should view it like the bag that the brain is in, meaning that there's like a very thin sack that actually houses the brain, and then around that there's a larger membrane that attaches the brain to the skull. Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, if you want to have an understanding, kinegdo bebeitzim nikar. If it would be easier to see in beitzim. Over here, beitzim is referring to the testicles of the animal, that it also has an outer kiss, and then inside the beitzim have a thin membrane around it, so it's more easy to see when it's by the beitzim of the animal, more difficult to see in the brain, but it exists in the brain as well, that there's this outer part and then there's this inner thin membrane. You also have by an egg, you have like by a hard-boiled egg, so you have the shell, which is, you know, the outer part, and then you have like this thin thing that comes off, this thin little layer that comes off of the egg. So that would be a similar idea over here as well. So the Gemara discusses where the brain, what's considered the brain of the animal. Amar Rabbi Shimon Pazim, meaning how far does the brain go, and where do you start, where does something start having the halach of the spinal column and not the brain? Amar Rabbi Shimon Pazim, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Moach, where does the brain go that a nekev would make a trefa? Kol ma sheba kadera, whatever's inside the skull and does not stretch outside the skull, nidon kemoach, is considered the moach itself. Hischil limshoch, once it starts to stretch outside of the skull, nidon kechut hashidra. That's called the spinal column. That's not called the brain anymore. Mehechon maschil limashech, where does the spinal column start to stretch outside of the skull? Amar Rabbi Yisrael Nachman, the Dibim Farsh, the Menedra B'Shoba Levi, Kimin Shnei Polim. They're like these two protrusions that come out. Yesh munachin al pi akadera, that are at the opening of the cranium. So the minapolin velifnim, from there and inside the skull kilafnim, that's considered the brain. Minapolin velachutz, from there and outside is kilachutz, that's considered the spinal column. Upolin atzmanet, and what about these two protrusions themselves? What are they considered? So in Yodea, we don't know. Mistaver kilfnim, but more mistaver that it's considered like the brain, and therefore, if it has a hole in it, the behemoth will be a trefa. Rabbi Yirmiyah badak ba'ofa va'ashkach kimin shnei polim munachin al piyakadera. Rabbi Yirmiyah would take a bird and he would find that these shnei polim existed that were right by the opening of the cranium, like Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani explained. By an oaf, he was able to tell very easily, because apparently it's much easier to find this by an oaf than it is by a behema. It exists by a behema, but it's a more challenging form of bedika to do by a behema, less challenging when it comes to an oaf. Okay, nikev halev lebeis chalal. We said another thing that makes an animal a trefa is if there's a hole in the heart to the chalal, to the hollow part of the heart. So by Rabbi Zera, lebeis chalal katan or lebeis chalal gadol? Which hollow part of the heart? The smaller, what do they call the sections of the heart? The chambers, right? The larger chambers of the heart or the smaller chambers of the heart? So Amar le Abaye, mighty baylach. What's the shayla? Milo Tanan. Didn't we have a Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis, that Rabbi Shimon Amar Atcha Tinakiv Lebeis HaSymphonos, that Rabbi Shimon, when he spoke about a hole in the lung, he said it's got to go all the way to the Beis HaSymphonos. The Amar Rabba Bar Tachlifa Amar Rabbi Yemir Bar Abba Amar Rav Atcha Tinakiv LeSymphon Gadol. And over there it meant the large symphon, which is the middle part of the lung, which provides which supports the entire lung. So shouldn't the same thing over here be by the heart? That if it says until the base chalalo, it means the large part. It says Mar Hachi Hashta. You can't compare the halach of the lungs to the halach of the heart. They have different functions, and the large part plays a different role in the overall organ. Hasam lebeis hasim phonos katani leicha deshafchi sim phonos kulu. It says beis hasim phonos belashon rabim, and that's the place where all the symphonos pour into, and that's why it's a symphona gadol. Not because a stam symphon means symphona gadol. It means because it is something that helps all of the other symphonos. V'hacha, but by the heart, lebeis chalalo katani. It says in the lashon yachl, lebeis chalalo. As long as it's a chalal, as long as it's one of the chambers of the heart, mali chalal gadol, mali chalal katan, and it doesn't distinguish between a larger chamber and the smaller chambers of the heart. So you can't say that it means dafka the gadol, because then it would have said lebeis hachalalim. The fact that it says lebeis chalalo tells you that it's any of the chambers. Kenei alev, the Rav Amar b'mashu, Shmuel Amar b'rubo. If you have the kana of the heart, the tubes that go into the heart. So Rav says that the shear of a nekev that would be matrif is a mashu, and Shmuel says a rov. Heinu kenei alev. What are the kenei alev? Amar b'rizkum Rav chelev shalgabe defanos. It's the chelev that are around the defanos of the heart. That if there's a mashu, according to Rav, or Rove, according to Shmuel, of a whole, that's going to be a trefa. So the Gemara understands that tefanos, first, before the Gemara understands that relates to the heart. Normally, when we talk about tefanos, as in regards to an animal, we talk about the side of the full sides of the animal's body, like the side walls of the animal. So tefanos al gadaitach. What? That's good. You can have a hole in the tefanos of the animal. That's not going to make it a trefa. There's no way that the chiyus of the animal is dependent on that. Ella shalgabe dofne reya. It means that's that which is on the walls of the lung. That's where you have machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. There are three kanim that go from the that go into different parts of the animal. Chad parish leliba, one goes to the animal's heart. The chad parish lereya, one goes to the animal's lung. The chad parish lekavda, and one goes to the animal's liver. Dereya kereya, the kana of the reya has the same halacha as the reya. That just like if a neck of mashahu would ruin a reya, would make the animal a trefa, if the neck of mashahu is in the lung, so too in the kana hareya, a neck of mashahu would ruin it. De kavda ki kavda, the kana that goes to the liver will have the same din of a liver, that only if it's nital kulo is it going to be a trefa. De liba pligi, and the kana of the heart, that's the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether the shear is b'mashahu or the shear is b'rov. Mar Barchia Masni Ibcha, but Mar Barchia had the opposite. Dereya kekavda, the kana of the lung has a din of a kaved, that it's only going to be a trefa if most of it is taken, and it's not nitrafal yidei the kana areya unless it's a rov is taken, just like the kaved itself. The kavda kereya, the kaved has the same din as the reya, that just like when the reya itself has a mashu of a hole in it, it becomes a trefa. So too, if there's a nekev in the kana that goes to the kaved, bimashu would be a trefa. Deliba pligi, but they agree that when it comes to the kana of the heart, that's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Azlur of Kibar Yosef Amar l'shmeita de Rav. Kamei de Shmuel, Rav Chiya bar Yosef said the din of Rav in front of Shmuel. Amar Lei, Shmuel said to Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Ihachi Amar Abba, if that's what Rav was saying, he used to call him Abba. Rashi explains, he called him Abba as a nickname because he was greater than Shmuel, so he would refer to him as Abba. So he said, if that's what Abba said, lo yada b'trefus v'lo klum. Then he doesn't know the first thing about Hilchos Trefus. So while he's calling him this nice honorific, he says he wouldn't know the first thing about Hilchos Trefus. Okay, so but that is in fact what Rav said. So do we assume that Rav doesn't know the first thing about Hilchos Shavuos and the halacha is like Shmuel. So Lemaisa, the halacha is paskind like Rav over here. In the Piskei Arid, he says even though Shmuel thought that anyone says this doesn't know the first thing about Hilchos Shavuos, but we know Hilchos Karav Bisurei. Rav was a greater, meaning Shmuel would say that by any psak that Rav gave, because Shmuel disagreed with all the psakim, many psakim that Rav gave. And yet, Hilchos Karav Bisurei, we always pass on like Rav when it comes to Issur V'Hetter, so this should be no different. Then we said Nishbar Shidra, if there's a break in the spine and it's Nifsak Achutshala, so then it's going to be a Trefa. So Tan Rabban Chuta Shidra Shenifsak Berubo. If the spinal column that's mostly Nifsak, Divrei Rabbi, that would make it a Trefa according to Rabbi. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Afilu Nikev, even if there's just a little hole in it. Hora Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi gave a Hora'a like Rabbi Yaakov, that he's Matriv, even if it's a Nikev Chuta Shidra, and that it would be a treifa. Rav Huna ein alach Rabbi Yaakov. Rav Huna says the alach is not like Rabbi Yaakov. Then normally Hora Rabbi, Hora is a lashon of chumra, is a lashon of kula rather. To say that that you give a hora'a, that's a lashon of kula, because a hora'a means that it takes some confidence to give a hora'a. Anyone could be machmir very easily. So this is one of the cases where you have Hora Rebbe Kirabi Yaakov, that he's machmir in the hora'a, that even the tiny hole, that he's not willing to be samich la'akel. In the first parak of Maseches Ksubos, the Gemara is an expression, mi ika hora'a le'isser, the Gemara says, yes, sometimes you have a hora as a chumra, and it gives this as an example, that this is the hora that it gives as the example of a hora l'chumra, but it's unusual. Normally a hora would always be l'kula. So anyway, so Rav Huna says the halach is not like Rabbi Yaakov, that it would have to be nifsak rubo. The kama rubo, how much is rov of the chut? So Rav Amar rov oro, that it's the rov of the circumference of the or of the chut. It doesn't literally mean a skin, it means there's like an outer layer around the spinal column. The amila rov mocho. And some say no, it means the rov of the moach that's on the inside. Mandi amar rov mocho, kolshkein rov oro. If you hold rov mocho, then for sure rov oro, which is what holds the moach in and stops it from spilling out, that for sure would be a treifa because all the moach is going to come out. Lamandi amar rov oro, rov mocho mai. But if you say that it's rov oro, what if it was only rov mocho and it wasn't rov oro? What would the halacha be there? So tashma, da amar nivli, an unusual amora, it's the name of an amora, amar Rav Huna, nivli says, they say in every Masechta there's one amora that doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas. I would bet, I don't know, nivli, I don't know where else it appears, so I'll have to check, someone will probably email me that I'm wrong. Da amar nivli amar Rav Huna, nivli says in the name of Rav Huna, rubo sha'amru rov oro, moach zeh lo malav lo morid, that when we say rov of the spinal column means rov of the or of the spinal column, and the moach doesn't make a difference one way or the other. Rav Nassim bar Rav Navi Yosef Kameh deRav. Rav Nassim bar Rav was sitting in front of Rav, and they had a case of a chut hashidra that was nifsak. Badak Rav Oro, he checked by Rav Oro, the Kabadak Rav Mocho, and then he checked by Rav Mocho. Amalei im Rav Oro kai moach zeh einam alav einam ori. He said you have to check the moach. If Rav Oro, if it passed the Rav Oro test, then you don't have to worry about the Rav Moach, because the moach is no malav lomar. It's not going to make a difference. If the moach has become liquefied, it's pasul. Nismas meis pasul. If the moach has become softened, it's pasul. Ezui amrach of ezui amasmasa. How do we define these terms? Hamracha kol shenishbach kekiton. That it pours like a liquid. That it's become so soft. The moach has become so soft. It would just pour right out. Masmasa kol she'enu yochel lamod. It means it's so softened that if you would hold it with some of the moach sticking out, it would just fold right over. It wouldn't. It doesn't have any strength to it. It's completely softened. So those things would possibly the animal would make the animal into a treifa. So that's all included in nifsak hachut, because the chacham knew that because of the hamracha and the masmasa, the chut ultimately was going to be nifsak. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah raised the following shayla. Einu yachalamun mekavdo mai. What if it hardened to the point that it wouldn't be able to stand because it's so heavy, it's so thick and heavy, but not because it has softened or been crushed? So what would the halacha be in that case? Would we also consider it nifsak? Teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Be Rav Amri nismasmeis pasul, but nismasmeis kosher. That if some of the moach pours out or empties out on its own, then it's going to be kosher. So Meisvei asks the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Behema shenis mazmeiz mocha trefa, a behema that the moach is nismazmez is a trefa against the Beirav who said that it's kosher. Says Gemara, hehi nismazmez itmar. We could see how you made that mistake, that nismazmez and nismazmez sound the same, but you probably heard about nismazmez being a trefa, but nismazmez would not be a trefa. Frak the Gemara, Eini, is that true that if it's nismazmez, it's not a trefa? Val Levi avayasav be masusa. One time Levi was in the bathhouse, chazilu gavra detaryu l'resha, and he saw a guy that was banged his head against the wall. Amar nismazmez moche dedain. He said this guy's malach has been nismazmez. And now why would he say that? Lav de lo chayi. Wasn't he pointing out that this guy is now in grave danger, that he's not going to live? So you see, nismazmez would make a trefa because the person's not going to live. It means that he's not going to be molid, he's not going to be able to have children. Rav Zilberstein understands that this masmez must be what we call a concussion, that the brain, that he had some sort of head injury or banged his head really hard, that he got concussed, and he discusses whether if someone is hospitalized with a concussion, do you have to tell a girl that he's dating that maybe he's not going to be able to be molded. So he says, probably you do whatever the doctors say nowadays. So if the metzias changed, then the metzias changed.